Galatians 1:13, for ye have heard, this is the Apostle Paul, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately, everybody say immediately, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I like how the NIV version says it. He says, my immediate response was not to consult with any human being. My immediate response was not to consult with any human being. Praise God. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight, if the Lord would help me. And I guess if we need a title, we'll just call it A Revival of Immediately. A Revival of Immediately. Let's pray that God would help us tonight. Oh God, we need you today. I pray for your anointing. I pray for your spirit, God. Oh, Jesus, talk to our hearts. Let your word have free course. Speak to every life, every soul in this building today, God. We thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for another opportunity to be in the sanctuary. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you shake somebody's hand? Tell them you're glad to be in church. God bless you. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul, speaking of his history, just a quick biography concerning his own life, he said this in Philippians. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Amen. We know that the Saul of Tarsus was a very educated man. And he came up under the teachings, instructions at the feet of Gamaliel. And I believe that those were some of the most prestigious credentials that someone could have in learning or education in Judaism, to be able to say that I came up under Gamaliel. I was reading some history recently, and some historians, Bible scholars, believe that Saul of Tarsus was on course to be a rabbi someday. And some believe that he was on course to succeed Gamaliel. Amen. To succeed Gamaliel in all of his learning and all of his education. Amen. In status, in leadership. We know that Saul of Tarsus grew up in the days of Jesus. And in the days of Jesus, the Jews rejected him. Judaism rejected him. And we know that they crucified him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Hallelujah. Amen. Saul of Tarsus, with his Pharisaic education, he regarded Jesus of Nazareth, like his teachers did, as a false Messiah, a rebel, a blasphemer, who was justly condemned to death. Amen. And he acted according to his conviction. We know that he took the most prominent part in the persecution of Stephen and delighted in his death. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, the Holy Ghost was poured out in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. It was the beginning of the church that we are in tonight, the Apostolic Pentecostal Church. And the power of God was moving and working at that time in the world, the known world. Hallelujah. All over Jerusalem and other places, communities. Hallelujah. The Pentecostal crowd was taking over the cities. Praise God. Man, I'd like to see that in our day, in our time, that the Holy Ghost people, the Holy Ghost tongue talkers start taking over the city. I'm not talking about being rowdy and unlawful, but in the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost people were taking over the synagogue. There were moves of God happening. Hallelujah. And they were turning their world upside down. Communities were in an uproar. And many, they were captivating the masses at this time. Many idolatrous people were concerned because people were turning away from their idols. And they were turning to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were receiving the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts, the Jesus people filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. And they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With the Jews, amen, there was a hatred of the Jesus name church. They were contrary to the law. They viewed the Pentecostals as those that were destroying the law. We know that Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And it was during this time that one of the most passionate Jews, one of the most radical believers of Judaism, one of the most knowledgeable, intelligent Jews at this time was Saul of Tarsus. This Saul of Tarsus became a key figure in Judaism. He was so learned, so knowledgeable. He was a scholar. He had much credentials, and he is at the forefront of Judaism trying to fight against the Jesus name church. Saul of Tarsus was looking for a debate. He was ready to fight over religious views. He was zealous. Amen. And he despised the Jesus crowd. He hated the Jesus crowd. Hallelujah. He was fighting against the church with everything he had. He was trying to destroy it. He was trying to waste it. Amen. He was taking people that were receiving the Holy Ghost, that were speaking the name of Jesus. He was taking them, binding them, and casting them into prison. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughterings. Hallelujah. An angry man. A violent man, very passionate man, but also angry and violent. Hallelujah. Amen. Fighting against the truth. Fighting against the work of God, the kingdom of God. And we know that, amen, that he had received letters into his hand. I'll just use this letter. This isn't too important, is it, here tonight? Amen. We're not really using this, are we? I don't want to mess anything up. Hallelujah. Saul received letters in his hand from one in authority. And these letters gave him the power and the license to take those that were using the name of Jesus and to cast them into prison. Hallelujah. Amen. Moms and dads being ripped away from their babies because they had received the Holy Ghost and they were praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. He's got these letters in his hand. And the Bible said he was on the road to Damascus. On the road to Damascus. And he's breathing out threatenings and slaughterings. An angry man, a mean man. Hallelujah. Amen. This letter that he had in his hand, these letters, they represented evil plans, evil intentions. It represented things that he had put on his calendar for tomorrow, the next day, evil plans and intentions down the road that he had planned to carry out. Hallelujah. But it was on this road to Damascus with these evil letters in his hands that the voice of the Lord came to him, amen, from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Hallelujah. He was knocked down to the ground, laying down. The Lord had smote him with blindness. And there he is laying, this proud, arrogant, strong, courageous, bold man was reduced to a weak, frail being laying on the ground under the presence of God. Amen. This was the hour of visitation. This was Saul's hour where God would visit him. I'm telling you, I don't believe that all moments are created equal in our lives. Can I get a witness today? I don't believe that every service is created equal. I don't believe that every day is created equal. I do believe that God is always with us. I believe he's the ever-present help in the time of need. I believe where two or three are gathered, he's always there. Anybody glad he's always here? Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be right there in the midst. I believe God's always with us. He's in every church service. But I also believe that there's moments that it's an hour of visitation. I believe there's moments that God singles us out, that God opens the windows of heaven upon our life. And I believe there's moments of calling. Does anybody believe that? I believe there's moments where God calls us. There's moments that change our destiny. There's moments that change our direction. It changes our destiny. It changes our life. It changes what we're doing and the road that we're going down. Has anybody ever received an hour of visitation here tonight? Come on, have you ever had a moment with God? Oh, I'm thankful, I'm glad today for those moments, those hours of visitation in my life. Hallelujah. It wasn't just another good church service. It wasn't just another moment. It wasn't just another time to feel God. But it was something bigger. It was something greater. It was something deeper that drove me down to my face. Hallelujah. And it kept me in an altar. Come on. Until everything about me was broken. It kept me on my face until everything about my spirit, amen, was crucified. Come on, I believe in the hour of visitation. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, our God is so merciful. God would reach down to an individual that's on the wrong road. I believe that God touches us when we draw nigh unto him, like the scripture said. I believe God moves upon us when we first reach to him and when we cry out to him. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, God's mercy is so great. God's love is so great that he reaches down and gets a hold of people's lives that are not even reaching out to him. Saul was not repenting on the road to Damascus. Saul was not building an altar. Saul was not praying. He was not reaching out to God, but he was cold. He was hard-hearted. Hallelujah. He was full of wickedness. He was full of evil. But the call of God reached down and stopped him in his tracks. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. I'm telling you, God can call people. God can stop people in their tracks. It don't matter if they're on the way to the bar. It don't matter if they're on their way to commit a crime. Come on, it don't matter if they're on their road to prostitution. It don't matter what kind of road they're on. It don't matter what kind of journey they're on. The call of God can come and intercept. Woo! of God, when it comes, it intercepts us. It stops us in our tracks. And it drives us down on our faces. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saul is laying there on the ground with these letters. Oh, God. God was calling him. God was trying to change his course and change his plans and change his life. Amen. And I like what the Bible says. It says that immediately, Saul was talking about himself. He said, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Oh, hallelujah. Can I preach for just a minute here and tell you what Saul immediately did not do? Amen. He didn't jump up on his feet and say, somebody take me to Gamaliel, my religious teacher. I've got to check with him. I've got to confer. I've got to make sure that, amen, that this is the right choice. And God's calling me. Jesus is calling me. The Spirit of God is reaching for me. There's a moment of visitation, but somebody take me to my religious teacher. I got to consult with him. I got to pick his brain. I've got to talk to some, amen, to some instructors in my life. And I've got to talk to some people that are key figures, that are mentors in my life. Amen. I'm telling you, if Saul would have went to Gamaliel and talked to him, Brother Horace, Gamaliel would have talked Saul out of doing the will of God. Woo! You know why? Because Gamaliel didn't hear the voice of God like Saul did. Come on, somebody. Gamaliel didn't feel the anointing like Saul did. Gamaliel didn't have the visitation like Saul did. And so Gamaliel would have tried to talk him out of it and say, no, Saul. No, Saul, you can't do this. What are you doing? Saul, you're going to take my place one day. You're going to be the next leader in Judaism. Saul, you're going to lose your financial security. You're going to lose your future. You're going to lose all of your potential and all the great things you could do. Woo! Hallelujah. He did not confer with Gamaliel. Another thing he did not immediately do is get up on his feet and say, somebody take me. He was blind. He didn't say, somebody take me to my mom and dad. Oh, I've got to pick some people's brains. I've got to check with some people. God's calling me. The Spirit of the Lord is reaching for me. But I've got to confer. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that miss the call of God. There's a lot of people that miss their future in God. Amen. They miss the hour of visitation because they talk to other people and they consult and they confer with flesh and blood. Woo! Amen. Flesh and blood will talk you out of doing the will of God. Oh, I'm telling somebody. Amen. I understand in life there's a lot of times that it would behoove us to seek out counsel. I believe in counsel. I believe, amen, God give us a pastor and sometimes parents. Amen. And there's times that I've consulted with adults in my home church that I had respect in. And there's decisions in life. And there's choices that we make. And there's roads that we take. And a lot of times in life it behooves us and it does us well to sit down with somebody and say, what do you think about this? Should I do this or not? Is it a good decision? I don't want to mess my life up. I don't want to do anything crazy. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the call of God, when it comes to the anointing of the Holy Ghost, when it comes to the Spirit of God, you better not let anybody talk you out. Come on. When it comes to the anointing pulling for you, when it comes to the Spirit of God, you don't need to confer with flesh and blood. It doesn't matter what your parents think. It don't matter what your preacher thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Woo! I can see Saul's parents shaking him. I didn't get to pick on these young guys. They hide from me on Sunday morning. They're scared. Oh, Gamaliel. Amen. Gamaliel, Saul's parents, they would have shook and rattled his bones. Saul, what are you doing? You've got so much to lose. Amen. You see, the people that didn't receive the visitation that we did, all they can see is what will be lost. All they can see is the sacrifice. But when you're the individual with the visitation, all you can see is the reward. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. When people sell out to God, everybody around them, all they can see is what's going to be lost. But when God's reaching for you, all you can see is what I'm going to gain. Oh, I'm going to gain this. I'm going to gain that. I'm going to gain a calling. I'm going to gain a blessing in God. Oh, clap your hands with me, somebody. Oh, I believe God's still calling. I believe still God's still calling young men to the ministry. I believe God's still calling young men, teenage boys, and putting a call on their life. Woo. I believe God's still calling young ladies. I believe God's still calling all of us, whatever age, to be used. Amen. To be a soul winner. Oh, God's calling. God's reaching. Amen. Come on, we got to respond to it. Oh, hallelujah. Immediately, he did not confer with flesh and blood. Oh, I've seen people come into the church through the years. They're in the altar. God's touching them. It's their hour of visitation. Hallelujah. And they go back to their religious instructor. They find Gamaliel and say, hey, I just want to tell you, I was at that Pentecostal church and I was down in the altar and I felt something I never felt before. I was crying and it was strange. And I feel like God's really moving on me. Hallelujah. And that religious instructor start talking them out. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, I believe in counsel. I believe in carefulness with all my heart. If you knew me, you know that I believe that. Oh, God, but when God's calling me, when God reaches for me and speaks to me, I'm not going to let anybody talk me out of something God's trying to do. I'm telling you, if God tells me to sacrifice... Come on, if God tells you to lay something down, if God tells you to sacrifice something. Hallelujah. God is moving on Saul to lay down his career in Judaism, a successful career. Hallelujah. Security. God's calling him to lay down all of his networking, his friendships and associations. He's going to have to put everything down. Everything. Hallelujah. Amen. But I like what Saul of Tarsus says later on down the road. He said, I count all those things, amen, that I lost. I count it all as dung that I may win Christ. Oh, hallelujah, that I may win Christ. Amen. Saul of Tarsus is laying down on the ground. It's his hour of visitation. He's still got these plans for his future in his hand. He didn't go confer with flesh and blood. Amen. But I want to tell you what he did do while he was laying there on the ground under the power of God. Saul cried out from the depths of his spirit, and these are his words in our Bible. He cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. Oh Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do, God? I'll do anything. God, I'll go anywhere. I'll lay anything down on the altar. God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll make any decision you want me to make. I'm telling you, amen, if you're going to be used for God, if you're going to do the work of God, amen, God's got to get you to the place that you'll cry out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Come on. Saul said, nothing's off the table, God. Everything I've got is on the table. God, if you want me to lay down my religion, if you want me to lay down my plans and my future, oh God, here I am. And Saul made himself available. Oh, I'm telling you, when God's reaching for you, you need to open up your heart and make yourself available. God, here I am. Hallelujah. These plans that he had in his hand, the letters, the calendar, the things in his future. I'll tell you what Saul did. Amen. I believe he got up on his feet and he started ripping up those letters, Brother Wurst. He said, hey boys, nobody's going to prison in Damascus today for saying the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. He started ripping up those plans. The things that we thought we were going to do tomorrow, we're not doing them tomorrow. The things I thought I was going to do next month, the plans that I had for next month and next year, come on, God's called me, and all the plans have gone out the window. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I'm telling you, when God calls you, you need to rip up the plans. Come on. Oh, I feel like preaching to somebody. You've got your future mapped out. You've got the road figured out. Come on, you got it all together. It's going to work like this. And tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, this is the road I'm going on. Oh, but when the call of God comes, when the Spirit of the Lord reaches. Oh, I'm telling somebody, you don't have to do tomorrow what you planned on doing tomorrow. Come on, somebody. You don't have to do next month what you planned on doing next month. You don't have to do next year what you... Come on. It don't matter what's on your calendar. It don't matter what's in the forefront. It don't matter what's around the bend. Come on, it's time to rip up the plans. Woo! Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. Immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately. Hallelujah. We need a revival of immediately. Oh God, I'm hungry to be in services where people run to the altar. I've heard about it all my life. Old time Pentecost. And a couple years ago, I started praying, God, I want to be in a service where people run to the altar. And after a few months of thinking about that and praying about that, there was a service that God let me be a part of. Amen. And the Holy Ghost was moving towards the altar call. And there was a young man, an alcoholic, amen, that came out of the pews and ran down to the altar. And on the other side, there was an older lady that came out of her pew and ran down to the altar. I'm telling you, we need a revival of immediately. Come on, if you sit back, flesh and blood's going to talk you out of it. Come on, if you stay in the pews, your carnal mind, your flesh and blood, come on, your friends, come on, your acquaintances, your friends, your relatives will talk you out of it. It's not time to confer with flesh and blood, but it's time to immediately say, God, here I am. Woo! Oh, somebody say immediately. When Jesus called for James and John, come and follow me.
I'm going to make you fishers of men. Woo! I like what the Bible says. And immediately they left the ship and they came after Jesus. They didn't say, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to check with my dad Zebedee. Well, I got mixed up on that. I got to check with Zebedee, my dad. I'm telling you, their dad would have talked them out of it. What are you doing? This is your financial security. This is your career on the line. You're going to take off walking after this man that says he's the Messiah? Come on. I'm telling you, if James and John would have allowed their dad, if James and John would have allowed, somebody would have talked them out of it. But when they heard the call and they felt the call immediately, oh, I feel like running the aisles here tonight. Come on, immediately, they came out of the boat and said, here I am, Jesus. I want to be a fisherman. Simon and Andrew, Jesus called to them. They were fishing, mending their nets, and Jesus said, come out to me. I'll make you fishers of men. And I like what the Bible said. It didn't say immediately on Simon and Andrew. It said, you know what it said. Somebody here knows what it said. Straightway. Did somebody say that? Straightway. And I looked that up. That means in a direct course. Immediately, straightway, now, they followed after him, and they became mighty men of God. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, God's calling, God's reaching. Oh, who's going to respond? Who's going to open up their heart and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we slip up a hand to the Lord right now? Oh, Jesus. Immediately. Immediately. Hallelujah. Immediately, Saul was led into Damascus. Ananias laid his hands on him and prayed for him. The scales fell off his eyes. He was baptized. He received the Holy Ghost. And Saul became the greatest missionary. One of the greatest revivalists that the world has ever known. He preached to the world leaders. He preached to the beggars on the street. Amen. He had revival all over the world. Hallelujah. A man that had a secure future. A man that had a secular identity. A secular future that was successful. Oh, but he laid it all down. Said, God, here I am. Take my life. Use me, God. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord here tonight. Oh, God, I remember. I'm not going to be much longer. I'm not going to be long tonight. I remember being in college. I don't talk about myself, but just let me testify real quick. I remember being in college with scholarships. And I loved college. I really did. I loved it. I just wanted to get a good job working at a computer for some company and wearing a nice clothes to work. And just, that's what I wanted to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But I'm telling you, God, reach for me. In a deep, deep, deep way. It was my hour of visitation. Amen. And I remember it was around Christmas time. It was around this time of year. Hallelujah. My semester was almost up at the university. In my third year at the university. Amen. And just loving what I was doing. And the call of God came to me. Amen. And I felt it so strong. That God was leading me to lay my college down. And I'm not telling any. There's some that keep going to college and living for God and juggling both, and that's great. Everybody's path is different. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But God was calling me to the ministry.
And I felt it so deep that I needed to lay everything down. Amen. College was not a sin. But there was just something happening, and God was telling me. I'm telling you, when God reaches for us and calls us, we'll know what He's telling us to do. Amen. Woo! And people around us won't understand it. Am I making sense here tonight? People around us won't understand it sometimes. And I laid college on the altar. And man, in my heart of hearts, I thought I'm going to be evangelizing in a few months. And well, little did I know. A few months turned into a few years. But you got to wait on God and trust God. But I remember laying that college down, and somehow word got out. Independence is a small city, and word got out. And I remember bumping into my English teacher from high school, and she was always proud of me, and I'd see her around town, and she would check on me, how's it going at college? And man, I'm proud of you. You're really working hard, and you're driven, and man, the future looked bright, Brother Worth. And I had people from my high school teachers that I'd see, and they were pulling for me, and they were watching my life, and they were watching me seem to go on this ascending course. And here I am back in Independence, back from the university, from a couple hours away, back in town, and I was working at a factory. Ended up doing some paint jobs and wearing nasty paint clothes all over town and slamming ladders against houses. And I remember a day, I can still see it in my mind, I bumped into a high school teacher at a restaurant for lunch in those dirty clothes. And it was during semesters, during college. And the teacher said, how come you're not in college? What's going on? Amen. And word started getting out that I had quit college. And you see, people around us don't understand. Some of them probably thought I was a quitter. I didn't quit because I was a quitter. I was trying to obey God and follow the voice of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I remember seeing different acquaintances and teachers and different people, and I could almost feel their disappointment for me, but the worst, that they were watching me and they were almost viewing me as though I was a failure and making shipwreck out of my life. And they meant well. I don't say that in meanness. They felt that way because they cared about me. And they felt like, man, this boy, what's happened here? He's making shipwreck out of his life. He's ruining his future and his potential. But I'm telling you, amen, it wasn't always an easy road. Hallelujah. Sometimes the call of God will put you on a road of sacrifice. Oh, God. But I'm telling you, amen, people around us will look at us and they'll have question marks. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're going to mess up your future. Oh, no, I'm not going to mess up my future because I put my life in the hands of God. Come on, God's calling for me. God wants to do something in my life. And they didn't understand was that I was trying to make myself available to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if I'd have went around and talked to everybody that loved me and cared about me, they'd have talked me out of it and said, no, don't obey that call of God. I don't know what you're feeling, and I wasn't there. I didn't hear the voice of God. I didn't feel it, but don't do that. You're going to mess up your life. Oh, hallelujah. They would have talked me out of it if I would have lingered. Oh, I'm telling you, it's not time to linger and wait. Oh, I've got friends today. There's a couple of friends. I'm not going to take the time to get into the stories, but I've got a couple of friends that I know there was a call of God on their life, or the worst, a mighty anointing on their life, but they wouldn't immediately respond, but they lingered and they considered. And over time, their human reasoning and flesh and blood around them, over time, they get talked out of the voice of God. Over time, they get talked out of what God's trying to do. Woo! Oh, I'm preaching about the revival of immediately. Oh God. Oh God, I'm talking about as if no time is needed to count the cost. Hallelujah. Boy, I know it's Sunday night, and I thought I was going to come and run and jump and shout with you. But here we are preaching this tonight. Hallelujah. Saul of Tarsus was laying there on the road to Damascus. Amen. And there's so much on the table. So much in the balances. Amen. So much to lose. And it seems like no time was needed to make a major life-changing decision. Woo! I like what the Bible says about Jesus. It said no man had spake like this man. And there's something about the voice of Jesus that there was a comfort in it. There was some kind of security just in the sound of his voice that a Simon, an Andrew, a James, a John, a Saul of Tarsus, and many others, that all it would take was just a few words of his voice calling for them, and no time was necessary. But immediately they built an altar. Immediately they opened up their heart and said, God, here's my life, here's my future. Oh God, I'm telling you, it's not an hour to consider. It's not time to meditate and ponder and weigh everything out and figure it all out. But immediately, why don't we stand here tonight? Immediately. Oh, hallelujah. Immediately. Oh, God. Oh, I believe there's somebody here tonight that God's calling for you. God's got a mighty work for you that's greater than your plans. God's got something special for us that's greater than our calendars. Does anybody believe God's got blessings and victories that are greater than what we're even hoping for? Come on, can I get a witness? Come on, the Bible said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power. Oh, I believe some of us already have plans for next year. Oh God, I want you to do this. And man, I like this to happen, but I'm telling you, I believe that God wants to go beyond our plans. Hallelujah. Amen. Earlier this year, I don't have anything fancy tonight. I just got a burden in my heart. I usually like to be a little more silly and have fun and tell jokes, but I feel a burden tonight. This year in February, I was in California in revival, and it was during this revival that me and my wife made some plans. There were some plans that it was just an idea that came to us, and it felt good. It seemed neat, and all the pieces seemed to kind of fit, and it just seemed like it was convenient and comfortable and just the right thing to do. Hallelujah. I had a few pieces of paper, a little bit about the size of the one I already ripped up, smaller notebook paper. I had about 3 or 4 pages, and I was making a bunch of phone calls and writing down some stuff concerning a plan that we had, something we were going to do. Amen. And I was feeling good about it, but I'm a careful person. I try to be move slow. And so I was praying about it, and I felt good for the first week or two and didn't feel any warning signs. And so I kept calling and writing down more plans, and had about 4 pages of some plans and ideas. And there was a day in prayer. I'm telling you, if I've ever felt God, I felt it that day. I was praying alone in the church and weeping and crying. And God spoke to me so clear. I've never heard an audible voice. And I know some say they have, and I believe all that. But I just know how God speaks to me in my heart. And I felt the voice of God so strong telling me, no, don't do it. Those plans. And it wasn't sin. It wasn't anything bad. It could be a good, healthy thing. But the whole, and we can't, it doesn't make sense to us. God will call us. God will nudge us to do something. Whether it's to lay something down or to do this or that, God will move on us, and it won't make sense to our human reasoning. And I'm telling you, it didn't feel good because I really wanted to go forward with these plans. I wanted to. It seemed like it could be a convenient thing. Hallelujah. And I got those papers. Amen. I went into the church and got those papers, and it was back in the sanctuary. I brought those letters into the sanctuary. And I remember ripping those letters up, Brother Worth. Ripped them up into shreds as I was praying. It didn't feel good. It hurt. But I ripped them up into tiny pieces and let them drop on the floor. And I started praising God and crying, reaching out, saying, God, I don't understand. It don't make sense to me. I can't even begin to make sense of why you would say no. But all I know is you said no, God. And here I am today. And I want to be willing. And I want to be obedient. And I want to be in your hands. I'm telling you, I don't want to take my life by force. I don't want to make my life happen my way. But I want to surrender myself into the hands of God and let Him do what He wants to do. Let's reach out to the Lord right now. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus.